This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the show. Happy Thursday. I'm Charlie Arnold. Hope all of you are having a great day so far. Now, we all know what is upon us, or at least many of us do. I definitely do, because as a former WWE backstage correspondent, we all know that this is the Super Bowl of WWE happening this weekend, WrestleMania. This year, it's happening in Philadelphia, which, let me tell you, Philly is by far one of the most raucous places for WWE. I mean, the fans there are like no other. I don't know what it is about Philly, but WWE visits Philly a few times a year just because the fan base there is so wild. So it is going to be an insane event this weekend. And of course, every WrestleMania is highlighted by lots of very different and special things. One being, they always bring in the celebrity athletes. So who is the guest of honor this year in Philadelphia, you ask? None other than Jason Kelce. He was a center for the Philly Eagles for 13 years, so it makes sense he would be the guest of honor. Of course, now that he's hung up his cleats after this past season, he is fulfilling his duties to his brother, Travis Kelce, sitting down to dinner with him whenever he needs to vent, to talk about his girlfriend, Taylor Swift. They just had dinner, the two of them, in LA this past week, so he already has his work cut out for him, but hopefully Travis doesn't need him this weekend because Jason Kelce, the star of WrestleMania, all going down once again over a two-day weekend in Philadelphia. And speaking of WWE, I had the opportunity this week to speak with someone who I was in WWE with at the exact same time when I was there for my five-year tenure. You might remember her as Ava Marie, but we know her now as Natalie Ava Marie. She's up to so many different things. Her story is so inspiring. And she took the time to sit down with Outkick the Morning to give a super compelling interview. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Natalie Ava Marie. Okay, here we are. Yep. I am so excited to be talking with you. Natalie Ava Marie, a woman who I have known, gosh, for a long time now, but you wear so many different hats, even more so than when I knew you, I feel like in a previous life now. She is a wife. She is a fitness expert. She is an entrepreneur. She is a podcast host, former WWE superstar. Am I missing anything? Are there any titles, Natalie, that I have left out?
I don't know, man. I mean, you laid the table pretty well. I mean, I'm honored and pumped to be here with you today because, like you said, I mean, we go back. So the good old WWE days.
Yeah. Let's just tell everybody because, you know, everyone, Yeah. With my background, I was a backstage correspondent for WWE for almost 5 years. You were a current superstar when I started working with the company in 2016. And I think, how long were you there for that?
I was only there for a year. I left in 2017. And then of course, right when I was coming back in 2021, that's when you basically were transitioning out.
Yes. Yes. Now, was that your third or did you have two or three stints with WWE?
Girl,
I have no idea. Seriously, basically
three. Yeah, you never know. That door is always open and everybody loves to hate a bad guy.
Oh, I know. And everyone loves to speculate. Like there's always, like you said, like the door is always kind of open. You always see the rumors floating around. Is Eva Marie coming back? You know, are we going to see her again? Everyone's, I'm sure, dying to see you again. I mean, you were certainly one of the biggest faces in the women's division for such a long time. You were one of the stars on Total Divas for quite a long time when that reality show was, like, I think at its peak on E! I mean, does that intrigue you, the idea of possibly going back?
I mean, it does, you know, in the sense of, I mean, you know, obviously the WWE universe, they are the best fans because they are diehard. Plus, it's fun because I really think that I got to just dive fully into a character that is the polar opposite of like who I am on a day to day, because I play a bad guy and that's always fun. And I feel like, especially in this like time, everybody wants to be loved, everybody wants to be cheered, everybody wants to be liked. So it was really fun to totally play something completely different. And every good guy, they need a bad guy. So I just really kind of embraced that character, which I thought was really fun, especially in 2021. So, you know, the door is definitely always open. It's just one of those things if it makes sense.
Okay, so, and then a lot of people, I mean, WWE made sense for you because obviously to be in WWE, you have to be athletically superior. I mean, fitness has to be a huge part of your life. And that's exactly how you got into WWE because you were a fitness competitor. I mean, fitness was your whole life before you got into WWE, right?
Yeah, you know, I always say it like my God has a massive sense of humor. So I really, the dream was to be a professional soccer player. That's what I played all through college. And that's what actually, thank God for it, because that's what got me through college and graduate and with a degree. But then, lo and behold, you know, certain life events happened. And then all of a sudden, this opportunity came. And there, I don't think they'll ever do it again. But the Diva Search. Obviously, all of us are called superstars now, but they did a Diva Search and I just went on an open audition. So here I am, you know, walking in and then seizing an opportunity that was like once in a lifetime. And I just like grabbed the bull by the horns and went balls to the wall because it had everything infused in one place that I wanted to do. So not only was it bringing back that, the physicality that's required inside the ring, so then you have to be competitive. You have to be disciplined with, you know, your workouts, your routines, and things of that nature. But then you get to perform in front of a live audience all around the world. And anybody that's been following me for a while know that military is huge to me because my dad's a Vietnam veteran, served as a Marine. So you know that WWE does a lot of stuff within the community. And I was fortunate enough once I got into the company to go over to Afghanistan twice to visit our troops. So, you know, it was one of those things where God put me in the right place at the right time, and I just seized it and ran with it.
Well, it seems like that's kind of been the
But
story.
mind you, I had never wrestled a day in my life. So that's why I think my God is funny because here I am. I'm a field athlete. That was my
But
thing.
you're athletic and you're a babe, and you're like a magnet, you know, like that's what's important. Like you have one of those personalities that people are just drawn to. I mean, even still in all of your different ventures that you're, you know, using right now to the best of your abilities, you just have one of those personalities where if you've got it, you've got it, and you clearly do.
Girl, thank you.
You're
Compliments
welcome.
to everything. Starting this off right.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, and I actually want to like take it back because I feel like we started in your WWE days. That's obviously where you and I first crossed paths. So I wanted to give everyone a little bit of an idea of how we know each other and why this is such a special interview for both of us. But take me back to you as a child. Obviously, we know you as the character Eva Marie. We know you as you are today. What were you like as a little girl?
You know, as a little girl, so I'm Mexican Italian. You can only imagine the household that was, you know.
Well, I'm 50% Sicilian, so I
Oh.
understand half of it for sure.
So I think, you know, that especially in the WWE, bringing the heat was just like kind of a natural thing for me just growing up. But I'm the youngest of all boys. And a vivid memory that sticks out for me is when I was young, my mom had put me into, you know, dance and more of like kind of the girly things, but my brothers were my everything. I wanted to be just like one of the boys because, you know, that's just what I
And
got.
how old are your brothers? They're older than you.
Yeah, so my oldest is 10 years older than I am, so the age difference was 10, 7, and 5.
Okay.
So, you know, they were quite older, but then I just wanted to be just like one of them and play every sport with one of them. And my dad always told me, you know, well, you could play with the boys, but you know, you got to be good or else you're gonna be sitting on the sidelines. So that's kind of how it started. And I traded in my little pageant dress and started to play with the boys, and then just never looked back. I mean, I was the girl that was wearing a sports bra and a wife beater in high school. So I was a massive, massive tomboy, which is ironic considering, you know, now colored hair, nails, the whole thing. So it's definitely a kind of a polar opposite from that. But it really instilled in a lot of values for me, because playing sports and being able to handle, whether it's, my dad always said, you can tell who's winning and who's losing. So there's nothing worse than a sore loser, and there's nothing worse than a gloating winner. So I feel like sports is everything. It taught me so much about things that I didn't know of when I was younger that just kind of transition and help you out in life, because you have to be able to play with your team. You're dependent upon each other. It instills discipline, structure, all the things that I feel like take you on your journey of life and can help you in all aspects. So,
Yeah, and it sounds like your father was a tremendous role model. I mean, you grew up where? Did you grow up in California as well? I know you live there now.
yeah, so I grew up in the Bay Area. Shout out to the Giants. Will Clark was my favorite baseball player. And I just, growing up in my house was definitely tough. Like, as a kid, I remember always, like, I can't wait to get out of my parents' house because they were
Yeah,
so strict.
I
But
bet.
looking back, I'm so thankful that they were strict because, man, the moment that I did end up going away to college, that's when the wheels fell off and I was just running and gunning, out of control, being like, oh my God, I don't have a curfew. This is wild. But and my brothers were pretty damn tough too. So it was a very strict but loving household. My parents are extremely like, they're
Well,
very.
your father's a Marine, so I can only imagine the type of discipline he has in his own life and probably pushed and instilled into your life. What was that like? I mean, I know you've told me a couple of stories. He told you if you're going to get into sports, make sure you're the best, make sure you're not getting run over. But what was it like being the daughter of a Marine? I mean, that's got to be some, a tough position to be under day and night, I would imagine. That's just from an outsider's perspective.
For sure, but it was good. My parents are extremely traditional. I have a Mexican mother, and my dad is an Italian man, so they celebrated in June their 50th year anniversary.
Wow.
I know, it's wild. And trust me, myself and my brothers put them through the ringer, where I feel like anybody would could potentially get a divorce just because of the stress of your children. And they're the epitome of.
They're definitely, they've got a strong bond. If I'll let you put them through, they're still together after this many years.
100%. They are my heroes for sure. Of just like, my mom is the American dream. She came over from Mexico, and her and my grandparents, they did it the right way. They got their citizenship and used the opportunity for a better life and to provide to their children what wasn't given to them, both my parents. So for me, now it's my duty to honor them every single day. And so I feel like they instilled so much value and work ethic because my parents both are extremely hardworking. I was just I had a conversation. I don't remember as a little kid, not one time my dad ever took a day off where he was sick, not one.
Wow.
And that's insane. The only time that he was ever out of work was because he was literally like physically ill and in the hospital. So it's one of those things where it kind of just like spilled into myself and my brothers, where we just kind of grew up with this like crazy massive drive
Yeah,
because.
I totally see you being like the ultimate hard worker. You have always been, as far as I know, one of the hardest workers in the room. When did you, okay, so I'm trying to just get all of the events straight. You went to college to play soccer. Were you there on scholarship or?
So that's the thing. And what's really crazy about that, my dad to this day is that's the one regret he has, because my parents never really pushed us to do anything. They just always said, if you want to do something, give it your all and you get what you
Okay.
put into something, right? So after my senior year, I decided, I don't I made first team all league. I had torn my ligaments and I was like, I'm gonna hang up my cleats. I'm not gonna I had gotten some scholarships, but for small schools. And at the time, I don't know what I was thinking, but I didn't want to do that. So I was like, oh, I'm going to hang up my cleats. But then all of a sudden, I went to a JC, Diablo Valley College, first in Northern California. And then I got the itch to go ahead and play there.
Perfect.
So I played 2 years there, made first team all league, and then I was like, okay, I'm done. I transferred to Arizona State. Bad idea, by the way. Bad idea. Especially for me, especially the first time leaving my parents. And then after that, after making some poor decisions, I transferred back in state, and now I want to walk on. So I go, I try out for Cal State Fullerton, and I actually, and this is where it comes to a huge pivotal point in my life, looking back on, where self-belief is imperative with anything that you do, because if you don't believe in yourself, you take yourself out of the game no matter where you're at, whether it's in business, whether it's your relationship, it doesn't matter. So I go, I try out, I make the team, and then I get called into the administration office, and my NCAA clock had ran out. So I had basically dicked around and lost the opportunity because I didn't believe in myself years prior to go ahead and try to do this from the very jump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
But it was a tough time in my life because sports was everything. And so to have something like that I woke up, that's what I did. I was team captain, so I had people relying on me. And then all of a sudden, when you remove that, then I didn't really know, like I didn't have an identity. And that's when things kind of got a little shaky for me, in the sense of that's when I started drinking for, the first time. And kind of going down that avenue. And looking back, it's really because of those types of decisions and not really going balls to the wall. And at the end of the day, you're not going to get everything that you want, and that's okay, but at least you gave it a go. There's nothing worse than just sitting and thinking that you can't do something and then not doing it at all, and then you never know, you know?
I mean, that's a tough hand to be dealt. I didn't realize that part of your story. Obviously took you down a road. You just touched on it for a second, and I'd love to get into it. It's something you're very open about, your past struggles with addiction. And by the way, congratulations, because I saw recently you celebrated 11 years sober, which is an incredible milestone.
Thank you. Yeah, it's
You
actually.
ran into the issues you said when your NCAA clock ran out. That's when things started getting a little dicey for you. So talk to me about how it started and the road that you unfortunately started to go down.
Well, you know what? I think too, in my family, it was one of those things where I never got to meet my grandfather, my dad's dad, because he died of cirrhosis of the liver. And then my parents both, they don't really like drink. I mean, my dad was your typical like blue collar. He worked in the grocery business, so when he would come home or when he would barbecue, he would have a Bud Light or a beer. That was kind of normal, but nothing of excess. And then obviously addiction wasn't really like spoken about either in growing up, and I don't think it, not necessarily that it was my parents' fault, but I just think that like it was just one of those things you just didn't really like kind of like talk about. So for me, I feel like I was just like a born straight out the womb an alcoholic or an addict, like full on, just from like the tendencies and just how, I'm pretty extreme at lots of things that I do. As soon as sports was kind of removed, then obviously I had a lot more free time. And then also I was stuck with now myself, and I didn't want to be stuck with myself and all the things that were going in, inside my head, because really what it comes down to is, I have a disease of thinking, like negative thinking in between my ears. And so and fighting those demons. And that's when my alcoholism really and addiction kind of like took off. So I wound up in a lot of trouble really quick, and I didn't want my parents to have to try to bail me out because they've already done so much for me. So I ended up, because I could not pay like the fines of after getting like multiple DUIs and things of that nature, because that's where it leads me. I ended up doing 3 months in jail right after I graduated college, and you would think that's when I got sober, but I gotta get the old college try. So I first got sober actually at 23 because of my oldest brother. He showed me the way. At one point in time, my oldest brother was in prison and I was in jail. So like, talk about my parents just being solid. My parents are like everything. where my mom's writing both her oldest and her youngest. And my parents are good parents, so it's crazy.
I mean,
That's
they sound phenomenal. I have no doubt it wasn't any fault of their own. It was
oh,
just, it's kind of sometimes how it works out, and it's a crazy thing that certain families go through, but keep going.
And so, he ended up getting out. We ended up living together in down south in Orange County, and I got sober at 23. And then sometimes things happen in the sense of I thought that I had everything under control and I could, get behind the steering wheel and not let God control my life, and I end up running that bitch into the ground. So I ended up relapsing at 26, and then I got sober again at 28. And right at that time is when WWE came into my life, and also my now husband too. So, when you stay the course and when you actually are willing to surrender and let God take over, take control, because it's hard. I mean, anybody that's suffering or has somebody, a loved one that is suffering, it's very difficult to watch that individual not get well and continue to kind of destroy their life when you know that they have so much potential. But you like to say, I always say this, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And the same thing with an addict or an alcoholic. They have to be willing themselves to do the work, and it's a daily thing. So, thanks to God, I
So
got
what
so.
does that look like for you when you say a daily thing? Like, do you wake up in the morning and have
Have a routine.
intentions that you set, or what does that look like?
Totally. So for me, I work the traditional, 12-step program. So I go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I attend meetings. I have a sponsor. I sponsor other women, and then I have a set of things that I do on a daily basis. I don't practice them perfectly, but it's one of those, like, in the morning, I have my prayers, my meditation, my time with God, and then I like to work out. And kind of do all of those things, journal, write, and then get on with my day. And I always kind of make a joke with my husband because he's a normie and super logical, where it blows my mind, like, the way that his brain thinks. But I have to do all those things for me to even be on the even playing field as someone like himself. So, that's kind of what has worked for me, and I have continued to stay that course just because I have gotten off that course and know where I end up, and I don't want to ever go back that way. So even when I was sober, I stopped doing the things that kind of are suggested when you first walk into an AA meeting or Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was sober but not working a program or doing any of the things suggested, and I wanted to kill myself. I was, like, just miserable because I was not doing all of the extra work, the writing, the meditating, the things that were suggested that when you do walk into a 12-step program. So now I make sure, I'm very aware of that, and I never want to go back. So I stay pretty disciplined on. I've had the same sponsor since I was 23.
Wow. And who is,
Yeah.
I mean, are you able, allowed to talk about your sponsor?
I mean, she's great. So, I could
I mean, is
definitely.
she like, do you have like a lot in common, or is this just someone you ended up bonding through because you were put into each other's lives, or is it someone that you actually do have a lot of similar interests and you have a lot
Oh,
of
no.
like, okay, you're totally total opposites.
This is it's one of those things. Okay, so my brother helped me out in the sense of when you first walk into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was scared. I had no idea what to expect. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't even know. I didn't want to even admit that I had a problem. So, but what's suggested is I heard this woman speak, and she had this, like, peacefulness about her, and she had all of the things that I wanted. So it's
Wow.
like anybody, it's like in business or something, you're
Like a
gonna.
role, like you saw her as being a role model for you.
She was married. She had a sick house. She had awesome, like, all of the things that I did not have, like a car. And it was a very nice car. And she lived in a very nice neighborhood. And she,
Yeah.
like, all of those things. So then it's like you go to somebody the life that you want. That's where,
Okay.
that's kind of where is suggested for you to pick a sponsor. And so, I went out. And with my tail between my legs, like, hi, my name is, would you be willing, and then it just kind of took off from there. And then she takes you, guides you through the steps. And then after you finish your 12th step, then that's when you end up sponsoring other women. And then it kind of goes from there. So she's I think Mo, shout out to Mo, she lives in San Diego. I want to say she's probably, what are you, 25 years older than I?
One of the things that you manifested that was similar to your sponsor was she was married, and you, at the same time of getting sober around age 28, you said, ended up meeting your husband, Jonathan, who I'm semi-familiar with. I mean, you're very, obviously very close. You post him all the time on your social media. You two seem inseparable. You do all different types. You're in business together. I mean, you're business partners. It doesn't get much closer than that, when it comes to husband and wife. How did you guys meet? How did this relationship develop? And I mean, let's just start there because I want to go off on that tangent for a second.
So we first met. So I mean this in the nicest way. I always say it like my husband is a nerd, in the best
Nerds are the
possible.
best.
Yes,
Nerds are the best.
find you a nerd that likes to work out and is healthy. Then you're dialed. But when we first met, he was working at Blizzard Entertainment. So Blizzard is actually out here. It's a gaming company. They do like World of Warcraft, those types of video games. So he's a huge, huge gamer. But we met in 2012. At the very start of Instagram. So this was before Instagram was on Android. It was only on Apple. There was no DMs or anything. I mean, he has a little different side of the story, but it started with him liking a photo. He liked a book that I was reading. It was Five Love Languages, and then a photo of me at
Yes.
church. And I thought that was interesting, like not a bikini photo or something like crazy. And so we started talking. From a Instagram comment. He sent me his email on a comment and then deleted it. And that's how we kind of started chatting. And then we met for the first time at a CrossFit gym. And after that, and I was, mind you, freshly out of treatment at that time. So that was not the first thing I led with, of course. That's not the best selling point. Hey, nice to meet you,
Yeah.
by the way. I'm you know, I got a whole lot of ba baggage.
I'm newly sober. Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Exactly. But then what's crazy is after we met at the CrossFit gym, I started my 4-week in-ring physicality tryout just to be, this was pre-Total Divas. This was just to be, the hopes of getting a developmental contract, moving to Tampa at the time. That's where the, WWE headquarters were. Now we're obviously in Orlando. And then work on your craft, and then hopefully you go up on
Yeah.
Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown. And I remember him being like, "Wait, what? You want to be a WWE diva? Okay." But it was so dope that to get me ready for that tryout, he made my lunch every single day. And not only did I mean, this is the thing when you're listening. And I feel like this is so just true in everything in life is like when your ears are open and your eyes are open and you're doing the right thing and you're putting one foot in front of the other, God's gonna speak to you and open certain doors and you gotta be willing and jump through them and be willing to take the leap. So not only did Total Divas come at that same time right after I got the developmental contract. I ended up going in for a Total Divas audition and ended up getting it. And then, but the Total Divas thing was crazy. I went in on a Friday, sit down, kind of like an interview like this, but in person. They drill you, talk about your life, your childhood, your family, brothers, parents, etc. And then when I left, it was at Buna Murray. I sat with Russell, and he
I
goes
know
after.
Russell. He's great.
Yeah,
He's
he's
such a
the
nice
best. Yeah,
guy.
super nice. And he goes, just so you know, if you do get this opportunity, it's moving really fast. I've only had this a couple times in my life. I walked out and I was like, dude, I motherfucking killed that. Like, I just had that feeling that I just
Wow.
murdered it.
Yeah.
I called Jonathan. We hop in the car because he's from the Bay Area as well. And this is a Friday. Saturday, so he meets my parents for the first time. We get up to the Bay. Saturday, I get a call from WWE and Buna Murray saying, congratulations, you got the job. Sunday, he asked my dad for my hand in marriage. Monday, I'm on
Oh
a flight to New York for WrestleMania and never looked
my
back.
God. Wow.
Yeah. I know,
I
crazy.
mean, It seems like your life really just took you exactly, it gave you exactly what you needed right when you needed it. And that's a really beautiful thing. Wow, that's a really, really cool story. I didn't realize that. Okay, so now you guys have been together for,
10 years.
I mean, how many years are we talking now? And you're stronger than ever. Have a fitness company together. On you're an entrepreneur. You're still very much into fitness. I just saw you recently posted like a thing about you guys taking peptides. You're like going down this peptide journey together, which I'm also on myself. I saw a couple of
Ew.
the, yeah,
Yes.
I saw a couple of the ones that you're on, and I'm doing BPC and CJC 1295.
Nice. Yeah, BPC, one
Yeah.
of my stuff. I'm doing thymosin beta and thymosin alpha, NAD. I just started, so I'm on like week four.
Yeah, no, I want to start the NAD stuff too. I'm gonna do the IV treatment instead of the injection. But yeah, I mean, there's so many cool things out there. Okay, so we look at your life then, we look at your life now, all of the different things that you do. Obviously, the podcast is a huge part of who you are now, the Hopeaholics. How did you get involved with them, and what type of messaging are you looking to get out into the world and help people by being a part of this crew?
So it's really crazy, and I know I speak so much of God, but that's like God is the forefront of my life, and I really feel all of the things that have happened in my life that have been huge pivotal moments, whether it's career or business, it happens easily and effortlessly. So I'm sitting obviously in the Hopeaholic studio right now, and I actually originally came here as a guest. July 28th, I was just coming in town as a
This
guest.
was this past year.
Yes. So only
Okay.
like what, 6, 7 months ago. And this is why I'm saying this is like God for sure putting his hand on this whole kind of not only opportunity but business opportunity as well. Is my previous business partner, she called me because she's neighbors with one of our hosts and said, hey, these guys, they do really good work with our military as well as she's known me for a really long time, so she knows that I work a 12-step program, and my sobriety is obviously the number one thing in my life because I know if I'm not sober, I don't have anything. So she goes, you should really like take the phone call and go on and be a guest. So anyways, long story short, my husband and I, they fly us out here. I come in, all of a sudden, like we just hit it off, like we've known each other forever. I do the show. And then we have kind of it's called a Recover Out Loud. It was an in-person meeting for other people to come, regardless if you're an addict or not, or if your family member is, and you're just basically spreading the message of hope. And so everything went amazing. My Jonathan and Chad and Shane, they start talking about business. And then a month later, we fly back out. We're signing papers. I joined Jonathan and myself are partners with the Infinity Group. So Chad Carlson is the CEO of the Infinity Group, as well as one of the hosts of the Hopeaholics podcast that I joined. And his family actually started.
And what is the Infinity Group? Is that
It's a brand that is comprised of seven different treatment facilities underneath it.
okay?
So it
Got
originally
it.
started by the Carlson family, Chad's family, 22 years ago. So they started their first treatment center then, and now it's blossomed 22 years into multiple facilities. And the seventh entity underneath the Infinity brand is NEM Recovery Centers. So it's my first ever treatment facility in Laguna Beach,
Oh,
California.
yes.
Yeah, and then now I've joined the Hopeaholics. And so the Hopeaholics podcast is really about spreading experience, strength, and hope. It's not strictly about sobriety, because at the end of the day, every single individual, you go through some type of pain. You have to come through some type of adversity to get to wherever it is that you want. There's no one, I've never met anyone in my life, especially somebody of that's successful, not gone through some type of trial or tribulation to get to that point. And it's about spreading the how do they keep going? How do they keep pushing? What do they do on a daily basis? And plus, my motto is health is wealth. Anybody that followed Total Divas, they saw my family's, kind of journey with my own father's health. And when you don't have your health, you have nothing. And you don't
That's so
realize that
true.
usually once it's taken away from you. And then the second one is, I used to be so ashamed that I had alcoholism and had an addiction in me and had to work a 12-step program. And so in Total Divas season one is when I really came kind of in the sense I told my story because I wanted to make sure that since it was a reality show and you know how those things can go, I
Of
didn't want
course.
all of a sudden like my mugshot to be all of a sudden a storyline and then me trying to like backpedal and
Of
fix this
course.
story. It's there's so much power when you basically own your shit. This is who I am, this is who I was, this is what I did, and now I'm doing this to get better.
Yeah, and something else that you said earlier that I wanted to ask you about. You talk, and I know your father was a Marine, is a Marine. Always will be. The way that our military is treated in this country is pretty embarrassing. Not to mention, you talk about your mother being an immigrant. Her and her family came over the right way. They got their papers. They came legally. And then you see what's happening with our southern border and the fact that we just have, I mean, at this point, millions of illegals coming in undocumented, and we're all left to kind of pay the price for all these people that, unfortunately, quite frankly, not all of them, some of them I'm sure are here in search of a better life. Some of them, though, aren't here for the right reasons. When you see the way that the administration is treating these couple of issues, how does it make you feel?
Oh, I mean, it's a spit in the face, and like, don't get my mom started. My mom should come on your show. She'll have a field day because you have people that come over here for the opportunity of a better life, but that do it all the right way, and then now you have so many people that aren't, and they're actually getting more benefits than people that are actual citizens. How does that make sense? That makes zero sense to me. What's like, I. It's a really hard thing to grasp your head around, especially in this time and in this kind of era that we're in. And then, as well as our veterans. So, one of the things why I was so proud to be a part of and link up with the Infinity Group here for the Hopeaholics podcast, as well as the NEM Recovery Centers, is because they have three designated treatment facilities just for our veterans. And to me, that was everything because, I've seen firsthand what happens. You have our guys, men and women, going overseas with boots on the ground, fighting for our freedom, for us to get on here, talk to one another, have a podcast, do our day-to-day life. And then when they come back home, it's like we forget about them. And I have a very hard time with that. And, the fact that now I'm involved with not only my own treatment facility, but as well as being a part of the Infinity Group with the other designated veterans. I've seen these men and women come in and actually get the care that they need because our VA, they're full, they're doing the best that they
But they
can.
don't have the resources. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's sad. We live in a very strange time right now.
We are living in a strange time, which is why I'm so appreciative, Natalie, that people like you exist and are speaking your mind on a very frequent basis. Because if more people will do the same thing that you're doing, that I'm doing, because we know there's a lot of people out there who feel the exact same ways as we do about so many different topics. And just, it's not even about feeling one way or the other. It's just about being able to speak your mind and speak freely without people jumping down your throat at any and all times. So I just want to say thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show and open up to me. I know you're an open book every day of the week, but I'm so happy to have finally, like, officially, I know we, like, we'll send each other DMs here and there, but like, finally have a conversation because it's been way too long, and I think we should do it again soon.
Oh my gosh, definitely. Especially, I mean, I don't know. We need to get you out here so you can come on the podcast.
Yes.
And, I just really love what you're doing. I feel like you definitely have had started. You led the way in the sense of going balls to the wall and going after what you wanted. And I think that's really important, especially for, other people to see you and you transition. I think that's huge from like a WWE and then into your world now. And I see you have 7 different million hats as well with all your shows, with all the people that you talk to. And I think that's incredibly important. And for people to look at that and think that like, wow, she can do it, I can too. So congratulations on everything that you're doing. It's very inspiring, and it's been fun for me to watch your journey the last few years too.
Well, right back at you, sis. Hats off to us. I'm so happy that we got to do this. And like we said, we'll do it again soon. So I know you've got things that you've got on your calendar for the rest of the day. So I'll take this opportunity to once again say thank you, and we will talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What a woman. I am so happy. I mean, you could already tell I was excited to be talking with her, but I'm so happy we got to have our little reunion here on Outkick the Morning, because it has been literally years since I have talked in person with Natalie. So awesome for everything that she's doing. Love what she stands for, and she is welcome on to the show anytime that she wants. But on that note, everybody, that is all the time we have for this particular episode. But make sure you're following me in the meantime on social media. Across all platforms, you can find me at Charlie on TV. We are off tomorrow. We are also off Monday, but that means absence only makes the heart grow fonder. Everybody, I will see you on Tuesday. Until then, have a wonderful weekend, and I cannot wait to see you for the next episode of Outkick the Morning.